His will and our will to be one. He wants His mind and our mind to be one. And as a matter of fact, He puts great significance in the agreement of both our will to His will and our mind to His mind. Now, if I were God, and you're lucky that I'm not, I guess. If I were God, knowing how we are, being capricious and faithless and moody and complaining, I'd just do what I wanted to do, and I'd just let things fall where they may. You know, I'd just do it the way I wanted to, and I wouldn't ask anybody anything. But God sends His Holy Spirit for the significant and the single purpose of this, making His will known to us in such a way that we agree with God concerning those things that involve us. And I know why He does it, and I discovered it out of a passage of Scripture. He does it so that you won't feel like your will's been bombarded and set aside, but that your will and His will have become one so that you might enjoy what's going on with Him. And I believe that's one of the most marvelous concessions that our Heavenly Father has ever made. He wants us to enjoy what He's doing. Do you have your Bibles? I've entitled this message, The Rebirth and the Conversion of Our Wills. The Rebirth and the Conversion of Our Wills. And by the way, you can be saved and not have a converted will. That doesn't have anything to do with it. The converted will comes after salvation when you simply come to the place where you understand and you've got such confidence in God, you say, whatever you want, your will be done. That's a converted will. And that doesn't necessarily happen at salvation. It takes maturity. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure that it ever, even immaturity, is that easy to do. But I would have you to look at Chapter 2 of Philippians. Snuggled away is a small verse, but a powerful verse. Verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. A powerful and a pungent verse that reveals the mind of God and the workings of the Holy Spirit. Now, Philippians, of course, you remember, was written to the saints at Philippi, and also the Apostle Paul was commissioned by the Southern Baptist Convention to write that for the 1980 January Bible study. I'm just teasing you a little bit, but I would have you glean three things from this passage of Scripture this morning. I want you to watch for first God's Word working. The second thing that comes right out of that is God's will is welcomed. And the third thing is you will come to a time when you cannot discern God's will from your will since they have been together for so long. And so I want you to watch the natural processes of this passage of Scripture. And what I'm going to do is simply do a word study with you. For the words are there, the movement is there, and the idea speaks of itself. God's Word working. Look what He says. For it is God which worketh in you. I love that word work, for it means operate, and it comes from the word in the Greek, energon, which comes to mean, in our language, energized. Energized. When God begins to reveal His will, let me tell you immediately what's going to happen. You're going to get upset. It always happens. God says a word to us, and suddenly everything goes into limbo. Everything gets up in the air. We're completely upset by it, and it affects everything around me when God has a new word of His will for me. And I like that word energized because that's exactly what it does. It just absolutely lights me up. It's a good statement because everything becomes tense. And what God's ultimate aim is this. He wants to work in our life unhindered. You say, well, I'll let Him do that. Oh, really? It's not that easy a concession. What if He says, now I've got some great strenuous thing? You say, well, now wait a minute. You didn't say that. You said His will. Yes, but His will sometimes involves some great strenuous thing. Sometimes it takes an entire personality change. Sometimes it takes an entire life focus into consideration. And when he touches with his will, sometimes all of those things hit the air. And you say, oh Lord, I don't know if I can put up with this. Lord, now I love to do your will. If you'll just do it in small, easy portions, if we can take a little dose at a time, if there's nothing significant I have to deal with right here at the first, because I'm weak right now, let me get strong, and then I'll let you have your will unhindered in anything you want. Well, you learn and you learn, but I'm not sure the concession to let Jesus work unhindered ever comes all that easy. One other word I want to tell you in the preface of this sermon is this. Jesus doesn't want to keep us in the dark. A lot of folk think that when you talk about God's will, you're talking about having to fly blind, having to fly on instruments. No, God doesn't want to keep us in the dark. But it's for a purpose that he does. And the purpose is this, that he, first of all, might make known what his will is for our life. The second thing is that we may gloriously want it. The third thing is we may anticipate it, and when it comes, that we can enjoy it. And so he keeps us in the dark, and he lets us know a little more and a little more as we become prepared to know, and then he lets us fully know what his will is. So if you're in the dark and God seems to have your life sort of up in the air and you're in limbo and you don't know what's going on in your life, may I suggest to you this morning, don't despise the darkness. And don't despise this time when you don't have full knowledge, for he'll tell you in time, and getting there is half the fun. You ever gone on vacation? You know, we've got a bad thing that I tend to do, and my family yells and screams about it, and I have to apologize to them. I'm one of those folk that slips under the wheel and puts it in cruise control and can drive all day long. And they'll say, look at that sign. See what's over here? And I say, oh, I didn't see any sign. We're on our way to Louisville. We're not stopping for nothing. We're hungry. I know a place 300 miles up the road. Let's just keep going. We've got to make some time. And I'd go with my eyes set straight, like a flint, as Jesus said when he was heading for Jerusalem. I just set my face straight, and I don't see anything to the right, and I don't see anything to the left. And you know what? I don't have very good vacations sometimes. You know why? I didn't see anything. I didn't enjoy anything. Folk, half the fun of getting to God's will is getting there. If we'll learn that, we'll know something. You see, remember the premise is this. God's got a will. He wants your will to be like his will so that you can enjoy him as you will things together. And getting there is half the fun. I think of that phrase, word, and most folk think when you use that word, when God worketh in you and he uses his word, we think of scripture. And it is that, but it's more than that. And we must be sure that we are feeling and sensing what the Bible says when God starts displaying what his will is to us. For remember this, there are positive commands in the Bible and there are negative commands, and you cannot ignore either. When God says to do something, you got to do it. When he says you can't do something, you must not do it. But we live in a day of permissiveness. And there's some kind of notion that that thing that is forbidden by the Word of God now will be overridden by some super spiritual word from the Lord that says, look, because I love you, you don't have to do that. My will is this for most people, but you're special. You don't have to do that. Folk, when you do that, you play a fool's game. For God has stuck his word in print. And he says, look, things may come and things may go, but by my written word, I have obligated myself to what this is going to do. And so when you come to the place where you think that God's leading you to do something that is anti-scriptural, back off from it. For he does not violate the written word and a negative command just because you have a sparkling and glorious personality. And I had to learn that because I'd say, well, I don't see any scripture to that effect. God has never told me not to, and yet I would read and it would prick my heart and I'd say, you know, that's exactly what he's talking about. And I would come to the time that I would argue and I would just kind of pitch a fit. You know how you do that. That's when you don't want to do something and you get mad about it. And I would pitch a fit, but the Father would say, no, I have revealed my will by the written word. And those things that are contained therein, you've got to obey them. You've got to stay with them. For I have obligated myself from time beginning to now that the written word shall stand. And it shall speak to hearts a reality that they can count on. It's the norm. It is the rule of conduct that does not change. There are no circumstances where we're delivered from the obligation of obeying God's word. And yet I'm amazed that there'll be folk that'll come and say, now, Pastor, God's led me to do some kind of an activity, whatever it is, divorce, immoral act, an untoward action toward a brother, a lie, some kind of a cheating thing, and say, I believe God's given me freedom to act like that. No, He hasn't. You have been deceived. For it is not possible for God to pronounce what the Word says and then to override it and tell you other spiritual leadership. You're getting into trouble. And you say, well, I feel all up in the air. All right, that's one thing, but it may not be what you think it is. And I'll tell you this for sure, it's not to override God's written Word. When you're up in the air and things are so disturbed within your life, and you say, I feel a spiritual moving and I'm not happy with what's going on, and everything seems to be in destruction, let me just tell you what. Don't start looking at a rebellious answer. Start getting open to what God's alternative and creative majesty can bring about to solve your problem. I know you're unhappy. I know you're frustrated. I know you're agonizing. I know you're spiritually going through something you don't understand. But going against God's word is not the answer. Going with God's leadership is the answer, and you simply must stay with that. And then that word comes that God has spoken to our hearts. And folk, there are some folk that don't believe that God speaks to hearts. So you're already in trouble. Because he's all the way through the Bible talked about speaking to hearts. And he will speak to the secret place right here. You may not audibly hear him with your ears, but you will hear him with your heart. And he will convince you, he will absolutely convert your will to believe what he is saying. And when he speaks to your heart, then you have another worry, and it comes to this. Am I just thinking this thing up, or is God really telling me that? Am I just coming up with one of these wild theorems in my mind? Am I coming up with some kind of a concept in my mind? Or is God really telling me to do this? You say, well, how do you know that? Well, let me give you two hints. One is the statement from the Lord that speaks to your heart constant. In other words, does He keep talking about it, keep talking about it, keep talking about it? And is it urgent? Do you feel a sense of urging, and do you feel a sense of constancy? You know, strong urges that are spasmodic and erratic. They just come and they go and they just kind of just hit you from time to time are dangerous. They're dangerous because they simply grab you and they just move you to act in a reckless manner. For example, buying. You can buy yourself right into oblivion. I know some folk that are spending 1987 salary already. You know why? They walk down an aisle and boy, they packaged it pretty and they merchandised it so well. And they say, I'll take three of those. What are you going to do with them? I don't know, but I'll learn to use them. I just think they're pretty. And so they buy and they just buy themselves into oblivion. And they have not thought ahead what's going on. Folk, you can get in trouble with that spasmodic, erratic urging. You can do it spiritually. How do you do it? Conviction. God always works with conviction. He gives evidence of things not seen. He gives an absolute circumstantial evidence and power and conviction of things that you are hoping for. as Hebrews 11 says, it just absolutely finds a home and you can't get away from it to save your life. It's the will of God moving into your life. I love what Isaiah 30 says. Have you read it? Verse 21. You'll want to mark this down. It's a great verse. Isaiah says, you know how I know it's God's will and God's word to me? This is what he says. Your ears shall hear a word behind thee. It will say this. This is the way. Walk you in it. This is the way. Walk you in it. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. This is the way that you're to go. It's God's will declaring itself to our hearts. I love how that Mary and Joseph and Jesus, when they went to Egypt, do you remember what God told them? He told them this. He says, listen, I want you to go to Egypt. And you stay there until you get a word from me. How long will that take? You just stay there till you get a word from me. You don't move to the right. You don't move to the left. You don't go back to Nazareth. You don't go back to Judah. You don't go to Jerusalem. You don't go anywhere. You go there and you stay there till you get a word from me. And then I will speak to you and lead you in the way you're to go. And the word came to them that Herod was dead. And they knew it was a word from the Lord. Just like that. When you come to that understanding, it's a great understanding. You know, I hear people say, well, do you think God makes you do what you don't want to do? Of course He does. Sure He does. You say, well, He says I've got my free will and He's got His will. How do we get them together? You know what He does? He takes your free will, He takes His sovereign perfect will, and He changes your want to. He brings your want to where your want to coincides with His want to. And I love the way He does that. I heard somebody say, well, I had to give up my will to follow God. No, you didn't. You see, God never does make you give up your will. What He does is what He says here. For it is God which works in you. He operates in me to bring my will around to where He convinces. He makes me see the possibilities. He excites me. He energizes me until my will fits His. And both of us will it. And then we both understand and enjoy it together. Now, knowing how God's Word comes and works, now I want you to see what happens, and this is the best part. His will becomes a welcome thing. Some say, well, what about the infringement upon my perfect will? Well, God guaranteed you your perfect will, your absolute free will. But let me tell you how He brings you to the place where you just welcome His will. He energizes us to His will. And the word will is thalian, which means He takes our desires and He perks them up. I want to show you how He does it. I've watched some young men that God's called to preach in this sanctuary. God suddenly touched their heart. Oh, they got disturbed by it. I mean, they were disturbed by it. They came to my office, Pastor, something's wrong. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I've got to change churches. I don't know what's going on. And they get all disturbed. Right? And then they're just scattered in their mind. They're scattered in their heart. They just don't know what to do. And God speaks to their heart. And pretty soon, God gets a little closer. And they say, you know, I believe I'm being called to preach, but I don't think I can. I say, well, just hang tight, boys. It'll be all right. And so they sit there for a while, and God speaks to them again. And they say, well, I am being called to preach, but man, I'm 30 years old. I can't go to the seminary. My family will go broke. We'll go broke. We'll just starve to death. The Lord wouldn't ask me to do something like that, would He? Why? I'm not the Lord. You just hang tight and listen to what He says. And so God begins to speak again. And pretty soon I watch the transformation take place, the conversion of their will. And you know what? They get to the point where they just drive me crazy wanting to go to school. Pretty soon they can't wait to go. I'm three weeks from going. 2 weeks from going. I just can't wait to go. Got my money all lined up. Got my applications all accepted. I just simply can't wait to go. Do you think they welcome His will now? Oh, they're excited about His will. Do you know what He did? He took you as far away as you possibly could be to be completely in agreement with His will. Come here looking at this church. I don't know if I want to go there. Awfully big church. Look at all those steps. You can't get any place in this church without going up and down steps. Just think what good shape you'll be in if you join this church. Folk, we've done more to arrest cardiac problem in this town than any other church in town. We'll wear you out and get you in shape if you join this church. We'll spiritually feed you. We'll find you a place to serve, and we'll put you on a flight way up there in agreement with what your physical needs are. We'll have you up on, maybe you'll be a five flight person, you know. And so you come and you say, I don't know about that. But God lets you meet this person and that person. Pretty soon you see where you could serve, and pretty soon you begin to enjoy what's going on. How did He get you from that point to this point? He let His will work with your will to where you welcomed His will. And you said to yourself, I believe that's what God wants in my life. He does it. You know, He could have just poured it down our throats and said, I'm God, and I'm the boss, and you're going to do what I say and like it. But He didn't do it that way. He says, I want you to be in agreement with me that this is what you need in your life. For example, another one. I love that word energize, the will, especially this week, because I watch cars that wouldn't start. And when we use the word energize, now we think of energizers, you know, we start that car. How'd He get you started? Let me show you how He did it. Are you married? Well, I better not ask that question. Do you want to be married? Well, that may be as dangerous as are you married, but let me show you how it happens. Now, if this doesn't relate to you, you just smile, and your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend or fiancé will never know the difference. What if God were to walk up to you and simply point out a girl or a guy and say, I want you to marry him, and never let anything ever happen except God say, marry him? And there was no emotion, there was no perking up, there was nothing there. You just had to marry. You know, it was an arranged marriage. You'd say, I wouldn't like that. But you know how God does that? Suddenly He knows that that's the one He wants in your life, and He brings you to the right place where you meet. And man, you look at her, or she looks at you, and it turns the engine on. It energizes. And you kind of walk home, and you say, I wonder what she's doing Friday night. And you get a little fascinated, and pretty soon your interest grows, you know. You're energized. Your will has suddenly been energized, and soon the infatuation comes, the courting takes place, the hearts begin to pound, the blood pressure begins to rise, and jealousy sets in. And one night, in a complete loss of cool, He whispers in her ear, I love you. And then He really loses His cool and says, will you marry me? And she does that ridiculous thing. She says, I will. And it's on. And they come, and they come to my office. Oh, they're so nervous. They think, I've never seen this before. And they say, we've got something to tell you. And I make them drag it out. I enjoy that, you know. I want them to tell me in living color. And they tell me, we're going to get married. And they do. Do you know what happens? God simply let His will be done through the processes to where they were excited about His will. If you'll give God half a chance, even though it seems repugnant to you, He will bring you to where you think it's your idea. He wants you to have such a joy in what He's doing that He will take you from this point to this point, and all in between times is as much fun as the end of it. But if you will complete yourself in Jesus Christ by simply giving in and saying, God, I know You've got the best for me. I know You've got exciting things for me. I submit myself to Your will. It'll happen. But there are some folk who are angry and they're frustrated. Things have not worked out. And again, you're reminded from the Word of God that you can't violate what He says you can't do. And you say, I don't know what, Pastor, I'm going to do.
How can I come to welcome God's will when it means I've got to live in a situation that is repugnant to me? My job, my husband won't be saved. He's mean as everything. My wife is bitter. She's vicious. My kids are driving me crazy. How do I come to welcome God's will when this is going on in my life? And I would say this to you. And I want you to hear me carefully because you're going to think at first it very harsh. I would insist that the Father begin reconditioning and converting my situation and my will to where He can work. You say, do you have that right? You sure do. You sure do. You can pray yourself into a situation where God has to work in you marvelously and majestically. And if you don't, what's at stake is not the issue at hand. It's your spiritual confidence in the Master to be able to handle your individual problem. That's what's resting on it. Can God really take care of it? And He can make you welcome His will with the sweetness of resolving of events until you cannot discern His will from your will. I love what he says here. It's God who's working in you and changing your will to do His good pleasure. The Greek word is eudokios, and it simply means that you get so used to the joy of His will, you wonder if this is just you or are you way out? Do people really believe you or are you just kind of living in a dream world? And it's simply where you come to the place where you have confidence in God working. Now let me tell you what the symptoms are of a person who's come to where his will and God's will are going together. It's this. Circumstances don't run. Right. Circumstances don't run. You see, I have come to the place knowing that I am God's child so much that if God can't work with my circumstances, then He'll change them. And circumstances have no influence on what God wants to do with my life. You say that's easy to say. No, that's hard to say. But it's great to live in. My circumstances do not dictate what is going on. You see, God, and I want you to hear this, centers His plans around His people. And He will move what He has to make me where I ought to be and what I ought to be. You see, loving the will of God, I am never where I am by accident. The Lord knows that I can get things messed up. I can go wrong directions. I can make mistakes like you can't believe. But He's busy keeping me in line. I love what he says in Psalm 25:9. He says this, the meek he will guide in judgment. In judgment. And remember, he didn't say weak, he said meek. And that's folks who can really turn the action on themselves, but they choose not to do it. They wait, they don't plow through, they just trust him to do what he wants to do. Do you remember Isaiah 30, what he said? You will hear behind you, in your ears, a voice. It will say this. This is the way. Walk you in it. Now don't turn here. Don't turn there. Walk where I tell you. And the joy of living will be yours. You know why people become unshakable? They've learned it works. Over here today, there's some lost man. Either in this sanctuary or on the radio TV, in the radio TV audience, God's speaking to his heart. Everything's messed up. He's not happy. He hadn't been happy in a long time. And God's suddenly talking. He says, look, let's get together. May I suggest to you, dear friend, that you today say, God, make your will my will. I submit my will to you for you to do things in me to make me want to. And he will. There are some folk here that God's got their want to all rearranged to where they feel like they ought to serve God here in this church. May I suggest to you that you ought to come this morning? You'll enjoy it. The joy will be here. There will be fulfillment. There will be an excitement. There will be a joy that you just can't put your finger on if you'll come. This morning, God is speaking, saying, let's get our wills together. That we might walk together in concord. And we might walk together happily. Would you come? Come and let your will be one with His to enjoy the presence of Jesus.